106.6.
Okay, that was Donna Summer with Hot Stuff, which goes out as a tribute for the lady who died from cancer the other day, aged just 63. I'm Dom Robinson, and you're listening to the DVD Fever Show with me, Dom Robinson, on North Manchester FM 106.6. It's a weekly show where I look through the week's releases of movies and video games, there's some news, plus the charts, and a look at what's new on TV. DVDfever.co.uk is a non-profit website and really deserves your attention, so go have a look right now. If you've got anything to say about anything here on the show, just get in touch via the Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/DVDfevershow. And you'll see trailers for everything on the show, or that you've heard about on the show there, basically. And in the first hour, it's all about films, and I've started off with a review where Michael Fassbender knows no shame on Blu-ray. Then we have the top 10 movie charts. Then we have a look at the new cinema releases out this Friday, including Men in Black 3 and Iron Sky. Then also some new Blu-ray and DVD releases, including The Descendants and The Darkest Hour. So we get on to, first of all, the review of Shame. Now in Shame, Brandon, Michael Fassbender, looks like a man who has it all. He's tall, attractive, and has a posh apartment which he keeps spick and span. So why does he feel the need to use prostitutes rather than talk to women he would come across generally in normal life? In the meantime, he's constantly ignoring phone calls from a woman who keeps ringing and leaving messages which he doesn't return. It turns out these calls are from his sister, Sissy, Carey Mulligan, who arrives unannounced and upsets his cosy little life of living on his own, especially causing him to spit his dummy out when she has a man round. As well as being finicky about having anyone round his apartment, Brandon is a sex addict, but suffers from issues with intimacy, and he's also awkward around women in general. So when going out for a beer or three with boss and friend David, James Badgedale, he just can't get a conversation started and refuses to even have a dance with them, while David charms them like there's no tomorrow. Shame is certainly a curiosity and is engaging for a fair amount of its 101-minute running time, but I found this to be mainly for its arty looks, most notably several one-take scenes that show a lot of passion in director Steve McQueen's work. However, while it is worth a watch for sure, with solid performances from the two leads, it is far from the opus that the media would have you believe. Still, it's a step up from 2008's Hunger, which bored me rigid. I'll also give special mention to redhead Lucy Walters, simply known here as Woman on Subway Train, because she's incredibly hot. One day, McQueen and Fassbender will make an iconic film together, but this is not it. Presented in the original theatrical ratio and in 1080p high definition, the picture never looks anything but fantastic with bold, well-defined colours, often used in dark locations. Sound is in 5.1 DTS HD Master Audio. It's mostly used for dialogue, ambience and background music, and you know, it never really pushes the boat out, but occasionally there's a fine line in atmospheric, haunting score. The extras are as follows. I've got Q&A with Michael Fassbender, which runs for about 36 minutes. Filmed at the Hackney Picture House in January this year with Dave Calhoun, the film editor from Time Out. This is a pretty engaging segment, although it does tend to meander a bit in the middle. However, it does come back up with the audience members' questions as it goes on. There's some interviews with two very brief Q&As, one with Michael Fassbender himself, about 3 minutes, and one with Carey Mulligan, 2 minutes, with sort of silent questions shown as captions. But to be quite frank, these segments are just too short to be of any major benefit. Then there's a trailer which I think you know gives too much away, as it's the kind of film you want to see complete itself on its own. And that's it. The only other plus I can sort of say beyond that, he's got subtitles in English, if that's your bag, and it's got 16 chapters, which is not a great number, but it's passable. Better than most films, which just seem to, for some ungodly reason, just seem to have 12, no matter how long the film is, even if it's like 3 hours long, which is just pathetic. And also, there's one of my bugbears comes up with this disc, as it's another case where they put trailers before the main menu, like one of those rental videos from the 80s. Why do they do this? They should be in the extras menu, you know, the trailers at least, and nowhere else, because I mean, some of these discs that come out, they stick bloody adverts for chocolate bars. You know, if people who've paid for the disc, you do not need extra advertisements, as if you're in the cinema. Anyway, so, scores on the doors. The film, I say it's been hyped to death all over the place, but I'm just going to give it 7 out of 10. Well worth a watch, but you know, don't rush to go and see it. Picture 10, sound 8, it's worth it for the score. Extras 2, just rubbish, quite frankly, apart from the Q&A, which lasts about 36 minutes. Overall, 7. So, you know, the picture and the sound bring it up. Okay, so we'll have a bit of music and then we'll have the top 10 movie charts. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Don Robinson, on North Manchester FM 106.6. And it's this time that we look at the top 10 movie charts, starting with, well, I was going to say, as everyone knows, I go through the US movie charts here just because they're more interesting. Well, obviously, we're going to start with number one, which is Avengers Assemble. It's still there after 2 weeks. It's taken $373 million to date. Nick Fury is the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., an international peacekeeping agency. The agency is a who's who of Marvel superheroes, with Iron Man, the Incredible Hulk, Thor, Captain America, Hawkeye and Black Widow. When global security is threatened by Loki and his cohorts, Nick Fury and his team will need all their powers to save the world from disaster. Well, this film would have been called The Avengers, but they didn't want to cause confusion between this and the British TV series from the 60s. And that's exactly what I thought was coming out when I first heard about this film being made. And we don't want that again after that, oh, god-awful one with Uma Thurman and Sean Connery. But there's something about it all which just doesn't appeal to me. Sort of like a lot of superhero films. Well, I'm told it does do the necessary for non-superhero fans. That said, it's not something I'm going to rush to go and see unless perhaps Scarlett Johansson turns up personally in a catsuit to escort me to the cinema, which is pretty unlikely. Number two, and just taking a mere $29.7 million on its opening weekend, was Dark Shadows. And in the year 1752, Joshua and Naomi Collins, with young son Barnabas, set sail from Liverpool, England, to start a new life in America. But even an ocean was not enough to escape the mysterious curse that has plagued their family. 2 decades pass, and Barnabas, Johnny Depp, has a world at his feet, or at least the town of Collinsport, Maine. Master of Collingwood Manor, Barnabas is rich, powerful, and an inveterate playboy, until he makes the grave mistake of breaking the heart of Angelique Bouchard, Eva Green. A witch in every sense of the word, Angelique dooms him to a fate worse than death, turning him into a vampire, and then burying him alive. 2 centuries later, Barnabas is inadvertently freed from his tomb and emerges into the very changed world of 1972. He returns to Collingwood Manor to find that his once grand estate has fallen into ruin. The dysfunctional remnants of the Collins family have fared little better, each harbouring their own dark secrets. Matriarch Elizabeth Collins Stoddard, Michelle Pfeiffer, has called upon living psychiatrist Dr. Julia Hoffman, Helena Bonham Carter, to help her with her family troubles. Directed by Tim Burton, so unsurprisingly starring Depp and Bonham Carter, there's also Johnny Lee Miller, Chloe Grace Moretz, Christopher Lee and Alice Cooper as himself. And I'm not one for Tim Burton movies in general, and often find them quite so-so, but this one does seem intriguing, so we'll check it out sometime. Number three, we've got Think Like a Man, where 4 women have given up on getting their men to do what they want until they find a how-to book written by Steve Harvey. They start using his advice about relationships, and their men start falling into line, until the men discover what the women have been doing, and then the war is on. Starring Michael Ealy, most recently seen in Underworld Awakening, as well as the superb series Sleeper Cell, Jerry Ferrara, Megan Good, and also Romany Malco, aka Conrad from the first few series of Weeds, the idea behind this film sounds appalling. But from the trailer, it actually looks half decent, but, you know, it's not one I'm going to rush to go and see on the big screen anyway. Watch it at home, at the very most. Number four, we have The Hunger Games, which has taken $387 million to date, so that's very close to what Avengers got, but that's, Avengers is purely going, well, easily going to overtake it. Number five, we've got The Lucky One, with Zac Efron as the US Marine Sergeant. I've described this one before, and, you know, if you do go and see this when it comes out over here, then even if I don't know you, I'm not going to talk to you ever again, because just, even if I've never spoken to you before, I wouldn't even talk to you once, because you seriously need help. This is just, I mean, I thought from the trailer it was going to be a load of syrupy goop, and I was right. And it's also from the director of The Notebook, another load of syrupy utter, you know. Just don't encourage him. Don't encourage Zac Efron to make any more films. Just stop. Think about what you're doing when you get to the booth, and, you know, you're going to hand over your hard-earned money. Just stop and say, no, today is a day I do not go and see a Zac Efron film. I will never do it again. I digress. Anyway, just don't go and see it. Number six, we have the 5-year engagement. And exactly 1 year after Tom Solomon, Jason Segel, meets Violet Barnes, Emily Blunt, he surprises her with a ring. By all accounts, Tom and Violet are destined for their happily ever after. However, this engaged couple just keep getting tripped up along on the long walk down the aisle. Well, there's a couple of amusing moments in the trailer. And, oh, by the way, all trailers are on the Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/DVD Fever Show. But the trailer just looks kind of forced. Yes, the two leads are likeable, but we don't need another film like this at all. Number 7, we have The Pirates in an Adventure with Scientists, where pirate captain Hugh Grant sets out on a mission to defeat his rivals Black Bellamy, Jeremy Piven, and Cutlass Liz, Salma Hayek. And I said Cutlass properly the first time this week. I kept saying Cut Glass all before. And they're battling out for the Pirate of the Year award. And the quest takes the captain and his crew from the shores of Blood Island to the foggy streets of Victorian London. And it's the latest film from Aardman Animations, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's, if you like that kind of thing, which I do, then you got to go and see it. I haven't seen it yet. I will see it. To be quite frank, I'm going to end up waiting for it to come out on Blu-ray. Number 8, we have The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, that film full of old British oldies has finally graced its shores in America. Number 9, Chimpanzee, a documentary about a 3-year-old chimp narrated by Tim Allen, which sounds riveting. Not. And then we have number 10, Safe, where May Catherine Chan, a young girl whose memory holds a priceless numerical code, finds herself pursued by the triads, plus the Russian mob, and corrupt New York cops. Coming to her aid is an ex-cage fighter Luke, Jason Statham, whose life was destroyed by the gangsters on May's trail. He helps her out, and the baddies repay this by murdering his family, so he's out for revenge. And I think anything with Jason Statham, you know what to expect, and it's always worth a laugh anyway, so definitely worth a watch at some point. Okay, so that's all the, well, it's the top 10 movie charts. Obviously it's all of that because we've got reached number 10. Then we'll have a bit of music, and then we'll have a look at some new cinema releases out this Friday, including Men in Black 3. This is 106.6. 106.6. Okay, you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Dom Robinson, on North Manchester FM 106.6. And in this section, we're going to have a look at some new film releases coming out at the cinema this Friday. And we start off with Men in Black 3, where an alien criminal kills young Agent K in 1969, altering the timeline and changing the agency and placing the Earth in danger. Veteran Agent J. Will Smith must travel back in time to 1969 to before the murder and work with the young Agent K, Josh Brolin, to save him, as well as the agency, the Earth, and humanity himself. Veteran MIB field agent Agent J learns that Agent K's life and the fate of the Earth are at stake. He must travel in time to 69, blah blah blah, stop an alien criminal named Boris, maybe that's him, from assassinating a young Agent K and to changing history, also facing a 24-hour time limit before he's trapped in the past. Well, the first one was brilliant and the sequel was terrible. So what does the third one look like? Well, it looks like more of the same, but somewhere in between the two. It doesn't wow me like the first one did. So not one to rush to see, especially not in 3D. Ages ago, I saw when people like post a fake trailer online, someone posted something they said was a Men in Black 3 trailer. This was before I'd heard of the film coming out, and it certainly wasn't. And I put some comments on it that said, in some no uncertain terms, that it was definitely not a Men in Black 3 trailer. Probably had some F-words in there as well, but I then sort of, because it was a fake link, I reported it. You know, you do the report thing through YouTube. And I then looked at it about 2 or 3 days later, and my comment about the fact it wasn't a Men in Black 3 trailer had got about 83 likes. I thought, oh, it's fantastic. And then, before I could go back to it to take a screenshot, because I forgot the first time, because I complained about it and asked them to take it down, they took it down. Duh. I was quite impressed with my 83 likes. Anyway, also out this Friday is What to Expect When You're Expecting. Inspired by the perennial New York Times bestseller of the same name, it's a hilarious and heartfelt, it says here, big-screen comedy about five couples whose intertwined lives are turned upside down by the challenges of impending parenthood. Over the moon about starting a family, TV fitness guru Jules and dance show star Evan find that their high-octane celebrity lives don't stand a chance against the surprise demands of pregnancy. Baby-crazy author and advocate Wendy gets a taste of her own militant mommy advice when pregnancy hormones ravage her body, while Wendy's husband Gary struggles not to be outdone with his competitive alpha dad, who's expecting twins with his much younger trophy wife, Skylar. Photographer Holly is prepared to travel the world to adopt a child, but husband Alex isn't so sure, and tries to quieten his panic by attending a dude's support group, where new fathers get to tell it like it really is. And rival food truck chefs Rosie and Marco surprise hook up results in an unexpected quandary. What to do when your first child comes before your first date? A kaleidoscopic comedy, it says here. As universal as it is unpredictable, it says here. This film finds humour and uplift in the unexpected trials and triumphs in welcoming a child into the world, it says here. And starring Cameron Diaz, Jennifer Lopez, Elizabeth Banks, Chase Crawford, Brooklyn Decker, Anna Kendrick, Matthew Morrison, Dennis Quaid, Chris Rock and Rodrigo Santoro, it looks like a typical chick flick. Or just something for broody women. Definitely not for anyone with a brain. Also this week is Moonrise Kingdom. And yeah, again, all the trailers are on the Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/TODFeverShow. Set on an island off the coast of New England in the 1960s, as a young boy and girl fall in love, they are moved to run away together. Various factions of the town mobilise to search for them, and the town is turned upside down, which might not be such a bad thing. Directed by Wes Anderson, starring Bill Murray, both of whom came together to make the superb The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. It also features Edward Norton, Bruce Willis, Tilda Swinton, Harvey Keitel, Frances McDormand, Jason Schwartzman, Cara Haywood and Bob Balaban. And seeing the trailer, I love it already. Both The Life Aquatic and The Darjeeling Limited were works of art, and I've still yet to see The Rushmore and the Royal Tenenbaums, so it's a definite one to go and see this. Also this week we have Free Men. We're in Paris during World War II. An Algerian immigrant is inspired to join the resistance by his unexpected friendship with a Jewish man. Not a lot to say about this one, quite frankly. Starring Tahar Rahim and Michael Lonsdale, I'm not won over by the trailer, to be honest, and it just doesn't look particularly interesting. So maybe it's one World War II story so far. But to that end, we then have something which is World War II based in a way, and looks absolutely fantastic, and it's called Iron Sky. And in 1945, the Nazis went to the moon. In 2018, they are coming back. In the last moments of World War II, a secret Nazi space program evaded destruction by fleeing to the dark side of the moon. During 70 years of utter secrecy, the Nazis construct a giant space fortress with a massive armada of flying saucers. With the space fortress being done in the shape of a swastika. And watching the trailer, this looks absolutely bloody awesome. Cracking comedy with fantastic special effects to match. That is going to be, I think I'll call that film of the week. It's got to be. Stuff Men in Black 2, Men in Black 2, Men in Black 3 even. Iron Sky is where it's at. Okay, so that's all your new films out in the cinema this Friday. I'll have a bit of music and then we'll move on to the Blu-rays and DVDs out this week. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Don Robinson, on North Manchester FM 106.6. And in this section, we're going to have a look at the new Blu-rays and DVDs out this week, starting with True Blood Season 4. As if vampires, werewolves, werepanthers and shapeshifters weren't enough, Sookie Stackhouse and her allies in I watched two episodes and that was enough for me, are about to face another round of otherworldly threats. It's time to bare your fangs for Season 4 of this acclaimed HBO drama series that continues the story of the human fairy waitress with... Oh, who cares? I hate True Blood. I watched two episodes, as I say, and it's for women. It's for women who, you know, there's like... Women have, you know, the beefcake men who always take their shirts off, and what do men get? They get that gap-toothed weirdo from the piano. No, it's rubbish. It's just... It's not prone for men, is it? It's absolute dirge. That's what it is. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. True Blood Season 4 out this week. If you're a woman, you'll probably have seen it already. Anyway, then we have The Descendants. And from Alexander Payne, the celebrated director of Sideways, comes an Oscar-winning film that Rolling Scones. Let's have a magazine, Rolling Scones. Let's see how many that sells. Rolling Stone calls Damn Near Perfect. Academy Award winner George Clooney gives his best performance to date, and according to Philip French and The Observer. And newcomer Shailene Woodley shines, says Total Film. Experience a bittersweet drama about a detached father's attempts to reconnect with his two daughters in their often hilarious quest for the truth in this according to the Sunday Express, beautifully observed and brilliantly acted comedy drama. But then the Express say a lot of things, don't they? Usually related to telling you that fresh air is going to kill you, something like that. Now, I still haven't seen this, but it does look worth a watch, and George Clooney rarely puts in a bad performance in a drama, so it does look worth seeing. Special features, there are 8 featurettes, including Everybody Loves George, A Conversation with George Clooney and Alexander Payne, and The Real Descendants. There's also deleted scenes with director introductions, 3 music videos, and The World Parade, Hawaii, a silent film. And also this week we have The Bridge Series 1, where the body of a woman is found in the middle of the Øresund, I don't know how you pronounce this, bridge. Half of it belongs to a Swedish politician, the other half to a Danish prostitute. Trapped in the middle of the bridge, connecting Sweden and Denmark, a bi-national investigatory team is put together to solve the crime. Laid-back Danish family man Martin and Swedish single woman Saga. I wonder where she goes on holiday. Saga holiday. Yeah. Gold. Comedy gold. They have to work together to stop the horrific stage murders before the terrorist wins over public opinion with his anti-corruption agenda. Okay, so that's the first part of the new Blu-rays and DVDs out this week. And we'll have a few more after a bit of music on 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, you're back for the DVD Fever Show with me, Don Robinson. And in this last section of the first hour, we're going to have a look at some more Blu-rays and DVDs out this Friday, out this week, rather. They're out already, so they come out on Monday, usually. We're going to start off with Haywire, with this dynamic action thriller directed by Oscar winner Steven Soderbergh from Traffic. Boasts a talented cast that includes Channing Tatum, Ewan McGregor, Michael Fassbender, Antonio Banderas, Bill Paxton, Michael Douglas, Michael Angenaro, and introduces mixed martial arts superstar Gina Carano as Mallory Kane in a demanding lead role as performing her own high-adrenaline stunts. Mallory Kane is a highly trained operative who works for a government security contractor in the dirtiest, most dangerous corners of the world. After successfully freeing a Chinese journalist held hostage, she is double-crossed and left for dead by someone close to her in her own agency. Suddenly the target of skilled assassins who know her every move, Mallory must find the truth in order to stay alive. Using a black ops military training, she devises an ingenious and dangerous trap, but when things go haywire, Mallory realises she'll be killed in the blink of an eye unless she finds a way to turn the tables on a ruthless adversary. Now, watching the trailer, Gina Carano looks damn hot as Mallory Kane. And overall, it does look a solid action movie, so definitely worth a look. Out this week, we have The Darkest Hour, which is an American science fiction film directed by Chris Gorak and produced by Timur Bekmambetov. This American-based production depicts an alien invasion in Russia and stars Emil Hirsch, Max Minghella, Olivia Thirlby and Rachel Taylor as young people caught in the invasion. In Moscow, 5 young people, each with different goals, must work together to survive after an alien race has invaded Earth. The baddies suck up all the energy in the world, causing electricity supplies to drop to zero. And there's a good stack of cool CGI and clever aspects to it, which on show here, which make it look like a must-see film. So definitely, obviously, well worth a look. On the other hand, we also this week we have The Grey, where John Otway, Liam Neeson, works in Alaska, killing the wolves that threaten an oil drilling team. On the last day of the job, Otway pens a letter to his wife Anna, Anne Openshaw, and plans to commit suicide. While holding his gun to his mouth, however, Otway hears the howl of a wolf which stops him. Upon completion of the job, the team and Otway embark on a plane headed for home during a blizzard. The plane cannot withstand the weather and it crashes in the middle of nowhere. Otway sees a vision of his wife, but then awakens and finds Todd Flannery, Joe Anderson, along with Talgett, Dermot Mulroney, Diaz, Frank Grillo, Hendrick, Dallas Roberts, Burke, Nonzo and Ozzy, Hernandez, Ben Bray and Lewenden, James Bagdale. And Lewenden is mortally injured, and Otway knows he's going to die, but he calms him and eventually accepts his situation and then dies peacefully. And I still can't get my head around Liam Neeson being an action star, even though Unknown was better than Taken, and the fact that a film with an A-list star has been shoved into the January dumping ground when it was at the cinema, rather than before Christmas for a winter-based film, which does rather speak volumes. I don't think it did very well at the box office either, to be honest. Forget about The Grey. also out this week, some of the films. We have Alien Infiltration, Free Runner, Humanity's End, The End is Near, The Lion King 2, Simba's Pride, The Lion King 3, Hakuna Matata, you know the other one, and Yataman. Some of the TV series and other bits out this week. We have a box set which has both Phone Jacker and Face Jacker series. Just get the Phone Jacker ones. Face Jacker was just crap. Then we also have Midsummer Murders, The Dark Rider from Series 15. We also have Not Going Out Series 5, Sade Bring Me Home, Shine on Harvey Moon Series 4, Simply Red Live at Montreux 2003, and Vera Series 2. And also some Blu-ray premieres out this week. We've got Demons 2, The Fallen, and some Disney films, The Fox and the Hound, Pocahontas, and Tarzan. So that's everything for the first hour, and in the second hour we've got a mixture of video games and TV, starting with the top 10 games charts. But to take us up to the top of the hour, we'll have a bit of music from The Naked and Famous with Young Blood. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, you're back for the start of the second hour of the DVD Fever Show with me, Don Robinson, on North Manchester FM 106.6. And the music you just heard then was from Santi Gold and Disparate Youth. And in this second hour, we're going to start off with the video games, where we have the top 10 game charts, then also the new video games releases, and some video games news. And then also the TV section, where we look back at some TV programmes from the past week, with Sex, Lies and Rinsing Guys, and Embarrassing Bodies live from the clinic. And we had a bit of a glitch last week, so I'm going to just cover some stuff that we would have covered last week, including Britain's Biggest Hoarders and More Sex Please with British. So, we have the top 10 games chart, starting with at number 1, we have Sniper Elite V2, because that's version 2, which sounds obvious because it's the sequel to Rebellion's highly acclaimed 2005 game Sniper Elite. Sniper Elite V2 continues to offer gamers the most authentic World War II sniping experience by putting them in the middle of war-torn Berlin amidst the frenzied final battle between German and Russian forces. It's Berlin 1945, and V2 rockets with deadly nerve gas are primed to launch. An army of German and Russian soldiers stand in your way. Make every single bullet count, or the world dies with you. It's a heart-stopping race against time to save millions of people. The game features an X-ray kill cam, which is amazing kill cam technology which showcases what really happens when a bullet enters an enemy's body, allowing players to see hearts and lungs tear, livers burst, bones and teeth shatter, and entrails fall out. I'm sold already. This is fantastic. I've got a piece of gaming footage on the Facebook page as well. Just go to facebook.com/DVDFeverShow. Oh, I love the sound of that, actually. Let's go through that again. Allows players to see hearts and lungs tear when a bullet enters an enemy's body, livers burst, bones and teeth shatter, and entrails fall out. Sorry if you're having lunch, but that just sounds fantastic. There's a sniping simulation. Sniper Elite V2 features detailed sniping simulation with advanced ballistics, taking into account gravity, wind, velocity, bullet penetration, aim stability, and more. Guaranteed to provide players with the most realistic simulation of military sharpshooting yet available. There's also Sniper's Choice, where players will often find themselves facing a choice of the perfect shot that leaves them catastrophically exposed, or a more difficult route that means they can continue their mission. There's also Authenticity. The game features authentic World War II Berlin locations, as well as vehicles, weapons such as the Springfield M1903, the Gewehr 43, and the Mosin-Nagant 1891-30. And uniforms modelled after the original versions. And they use the environment, where the slightest changes in the environment need to be taken into account to move into the perfect position. Observe the quarry, take the shot, and slip away unnoticed. So that definitely sounds worth a play. I was going to say worth a watch, worth a play even. Then at number 2, we have FIFA Street. Number 3, FIFA 12. Number 4, Prototype 2. Number 5, Mass Effect 3. Number 6, Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13. Number 7, Kinect Star Wars. Number 8, Mario & Sonic London 2012 Olympic Games. Number 9, Battlefield 3. And number 10, Assassin's Creed Revelations. There's only one new entry in the top 40 this week. It's number 17, it's Starhawk on the PS3. And a re-entry, just one of them, at number 38 for Back to the Future the Game. I put a trailer of this on the Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/DVDFeverShow. And I had a look at some gameplay footage for this, but it just seemed mostly endless cutscenes, which did seem rather disappointing, even though they were well done. And at first I thought Michael J. Fox had recorded his voice for the games, it's very accurate, but no, it was a guy called AJ Lacasio. And in an interview for the release of the game, Lacasio said that when he was a kid, people used to say he sounded like Marty McFly from Back to the Future. And since Michael J. Fox was unable to voice Marty, although he voiced Willie McFly and Marty Future in episode 5 of the game, the Casio auditioned for the part and got it. Okay, so I have a bit of music, and then we'll have a look at the new video games releases coming out this Friday. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, you're back with the DVD Fever Show. Me, Don Robinson, on North Manchester FM 106.6. And in this section, we'll have a look at the new video games releases coming out this Friday, starting with Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier on the Xbox 360 and PS3, with the PC version due out on June 15th. Now, armed with the most advanced combat technology, the Ghosts are an untraceable unit of soldiers who track down the highest value targets in the highest risk conflict areas around the world. In the near future, four of these elite soldiers serve as tip of the spear in a hidden war raging across the globe. As the Ghosts accomplish their objectives, they discover a far greater threat, one that could alter the international balance of power forever. The game features Join the Legendary Ghosts, control Sergeant Kozak and his unit across 14 missions in 8 spectacular locales, from Africa to the Arctic Circle. There's an all-access pass to the future war tech, where you can fight using the tech of tomorrow, including optical camouflage, augmented reality, drones and more. Wield over 50 weapons and customise them with gunsmith mode, harness the immense firepower of the army and optimise every aspect of your arsenal in the gunsmith mode. An intense multiplayer with 4 game modes, 10 maps and multiple classes, along with Ghost Recon's classic siege mode. Now, judging by the gaming footage, this looks okay, but doesn't seem to particularly stand out from the crowd of what's gone before, so not one I'll be, you know, playing, quite frankly. I was going to say, 2 games I've just had come through for review, which I'll bring you, you know, due course, is Max Payne 3, which is out now, and also one that came out a little while ago called The Witcher 2, and it's it does look interesting, but it's one I've been trying to get hold of for ages, so it's been out a few weeks now. Also out this week is Dirt Showdown on the Xbox 360 and PS3. And it's a brand new dive and drive adrenaline rush of speed, style and instructions from the creators of the multi-award winning Dirt series. Players jump into a new world of arcade racing with pick-up and play controls, speeding, tricking and smashing their way to showdown finals to compete against rivals in front of thousands of fans in a vibrant festival atmosphere. There are 3 broad categories to Dirt Showdown stunning world of action sport racing. Players will use nitrous to blast past rivals and negotiate courses filled with ramps, multiple routes and obstacles in racing events. A gaming's most advanced damage engine was pushed to the limits in demolition derby events, where players smash and crash their way to victory in jaw-dropping, bone-jarring style. And finally, in Hoonigan, events gamers can demonstrate their freestyle driving skill in huge free-roaming stunt parks with new accessible controls. Dirt Showdown is Codemasters' most connected game ever. Split-screen multiplayer, 8-player online racing, on and offline quickfire party games and YouTube integration all come as standard. Players can also issue new showdown challenges to compete with friends in on and offline modes. Now, from the gaming footage, it had me thinking, is that it? I mean, you can see it on the Facebook page, but it's just about as pedestrian as you can get, with the car hugging the middle of the screen and the track moving around it, tinny engine sounds and a complete lack of excitement. It looks terrible. It just looks really, really dull. Also this week we have, hopefully it's better, is Doctor Who the Eternity Clock. Save the future. Play as the Doctor in Riversong as they race to save the universe and time itself. Unravel the mystery of the Eternity Clock and stop its deadly path of destruction before it's too late. Outwit and destroy monsters including the Silence, Daleks and Silurians and Cybermen in an epic action adventure. There's time travel gameplay mechanics, where changes to one time period affect the layout of another, and solve puzzles across the centuries. There's also a collaborative split-screen multiplayer. You can play together simultaneously and in different time periods. And there's also innovative 2D to 3D camera switch play. There's also an intriguing, expansive plot developed in collaboration with the team behind the TV show. Now, the gameplay footage certainly looks interesting, but I want to know why it's only out on PS3 and not at Xbox 360. As a result, I won't be able to play it, which is rather a shame. But that's it for now for video games out this Friday. We'll have a bit of music, and then we'll have some video games news. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Don Robinson. And in this section, we're going to have a look at some video games news. Starting with the news that Mark Hamill will return as a Joker in DC Universe Online. The downloadable content pack, The Last Laugh, will see the Star Wars character reprise his popular role as the voice of the Clown Prince of Crime. It will also feature Arlene Sorkin as Harley Quinn, who voiced the villain in her debut Batman the Animated Series and throughout the life of the show. Adam Baldwin will reprise his Superman role from DCU Online and also Superman / Doomsday. And Hamill had previously said that Batman Arkham City would mark his last turn at the role, to which developer Rocksteady Studios jokingly branded him a dirty liar. The Last Laugh includes new features, including a weapon called the Shield, the safe house and headquarter battles, and also new Legends characters, Kilowog and Amon Sur, both emerging from the pages of Green Lantern. And the fourth downloadable content pack will be available from June for PC and PS3. There's also news that the Metal Gear Solid HD Collection has been given an official US release date on the PlayStation Vita. And the Stealth Action Collection will release in the US on June 12th. The release date is earlier than expected, arriving several weeks ahead of the game's launch in Japan on June 28th, whereas an exact release date for Europe has not yet been set. The game will include two classic titles from the series, Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, and Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater. Both games will feature improved graphics, trophy support, and controls optimised for the PS Vita hardware. Players will also be able to transfer their save data between the handheld and a PS3. And the collection was previously released for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, and I brought you a review of that one on here, with the PSP original Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker bundled in alongside the two games. We've also got the news that the Toyota has unveiled a tool which enables motorists to control their vehicle's navigation system using a Nintendo DS. Yes, that's right. Your son's hardware can control your car now. Karama DS, recently showcased at a Tokyo press conference, consists of a DS cartridge that interacts with the car manufacturer's smart Navi system via Bluetooth. Drivers can use the gaming system to view maps, edit destinations, and check their speed. Toyota's smart Navi system is priced at 206,000 yen, about £1,600, while the DS cartridge costs about £56. And the technology is expected to be exclusive to Japan. Nintendo's 3DS hit the milestone of 5 million units sold in February this year, making it the fastest system to hit the landmark figure in the territory. The Karama DS launches in Japan on June 1st. I've also had this news this past week that Facebook has launched shares last Friday, in fact, at around £24 a share. And it sounded interesting to me because it's a massive business. And I wondered at first if you can buy Facebook shares, obviously you can buy them. If you buy them, what's the minimum amount you can buy and how long before you can sell them on, i.e. just to turn a quick profit? Now, I didn't buy any in the end because A, you'd have to pay a broker's fee regardless of the number of shares you buy, which can be as little as one. And B, how much money do they actually make from advertising? I know I never click on anything where it asks me to part with my hard-earned cash, and Twitter is dead in the water in that respect, because no one with a brain follows the promoted tweets. So as Facebook approaches 1 billion users, is the bubble on the verge of bursting? I use Facebook a lot. I'm always on it, except when I'm working. But how long can a service last that's not generating much revenue? Only time will tell. There were some interesting comments from users about the flotation. This was on the Telegraph's website. One said that Glenn Core launched a similar hype in May 2011 at 540 cents, and we're down to 347 by August. Nowadays they are trading in the 340s, which is a nice tidy loss for a good many crowd rushers. A second one said, save yourself the trouble and bypass the middleman and just put your notes in the fire. I simply cannot believe there are still enough idiots to prepare to part with the cash for a share of this crock of brown smelly stuff. And number three hit the nail on the head, saying, I think Facebook missed a trick by not offering shares directly to the Facebook users, or they might have revealed how few actual accounts are active, which is certainly an interesting point. Excuse me. Okay, have a bit of music, and then we'll have a look at some TV programmes, not only watching the past week, but watching the past sort of couple of weeks, because, as I say, we had a bit of a glitch last week, so you may not have heard this bit. But in a minute, that'll be come after... I'll get your words out in the right order, Dom. That'll be after a bit of music anyway. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Dom Robinson. And in this section, we're going to have a look at the TV programmes watched in the past week. Starting with Britain's Biggest Hoarders, which is on last Tuesday on BBC One at 9 o'clock. Which is a documentary meeting compulsive hoarders and looking at the strain the condition can put on their families. TV presenter Jasmine Harmon's mum, Vasula, is a compulsive hoarder. This secretive and often shameful psychological condition is putting a big strain on the entire family, and they are not alone. Up to 3 million British families are affected, but little is known about this disorder, and support is practically non-existent. In 2011, Jasmine tried to help her mum tackle the extreme clutter, which had taken over the entire family home, and compelled a 13-year-old brother to move out. Despite a huge family effort, only a few rooms were tidied. Jasmine searched everywhere for solutions, and none seemed forthcoming. But now Jasmine thinks there might be hope, and in this programme, Jasmine calls on expert assistance to help her mum and other chronic hoarders combat the condition that is ruining their lives and those of their families. Well, I took a look at this, but to be quite frank, it came hot on the heels of Channel 4's The Hoarder Next Door, which is on every Thursday at 9 o'clock, but that series had started like a few days before this one-off was due to be shown. As such, this wasn't at all gripping. I mean, gripping sounds a bit of an odd word to use, but it's sort of fascinating, I suppose. I know the BBC got there first with the previous entry in this series, but I mean, I didn't see that one, so that's why it feels like sort of watching a remake before you watch the original, which is why this feels like second in line rather than the first. So, you know, it's, if you've not seen it and you've seen the Channel 4 programme, it's, you know, she's got a bit of the way there, but not, you know, wasn't massive or anything like that. So, bit of a limp programme all round, quite frankly. Also last Tuesday we had More Sex Please with British, and the UK sex toy market is worth an estimated £250 million. And with retailers such as Boots, Tesco and Superdrug now stocking erotic toys, the market is set to grow and grow. This programme goes behind the scenes of one of the UK's most successful online sex toy businesses, Love Honey, a thriving operation that brings sexual pleasure to the women and men of Britain through the click of a button. Founded in 2002 by Neil Slateford and Richard Longhurst, Love Honey has seen its sales increase year by year to £16 million. Love Honey reckon that nearly half the nation owns a sex toy. This programme meets the people working at the company's HQ in Bath, a 70-strong crack team of sexperts who pick, pack and post more than 11,000 parcels a week, from adult toys and sexual lingerie to erotic literature and games. Now in the programme we saw that Love Honey deal with 150 to 200 returns each day, so many to the point that they had to employ someone else, and they got a guy called Roy who said he enjoys it because he has to sniff a lot of underwear. And it's just like, when they got returns, had it been used and could they resell it? And as one of them said, if in doubt, throw it out. Then there's a girl called Annabelle Knight, who's an online TV presenter and advertises the products on their website. While there was another guy who's a statistician and spends his time working out which part of the country buys the most sex toys, pointing out that the kinkiest place in the UK is Wilmslow in Cheshire, who buy the most whips, chains, restraints and lots of other things I probably can't mention at this time of day. They put it down to lots of footballers living there. Oh, well, maybe it's because it's also Chancellor George Osborne's constituency. Meanwhile, Annabelle was also shown modelling lingerie in advance of the Valentine's Day sales period. They also moved onto blow up dolls and the sort of like big toy dolls, and they said they had an older man who phoned up and said that his wife had passed away and just wanted to buy something to cuddle. It just got more and more bizarre, but you know, each their own. Also on Tuesday, everything was on Tuesday, we had Cardinal Burns, which is absorbing and devilishly funny series made up of sketches and narrative comedy written and performed by Seb Cardinal and Dustin Demery Burns, showcasing a unique range of comic characters, including Phil and Terry, who share spellbinding stories on the twilight shift in a cab office, urban street poet Switch, a documentary about the humdrum life of street artist Banksy, Young Dreams, a parody of reality shows following three girls on a fashion internship, and Office Flirt and New Guy. In the first episode, Banksy is going through a failed attempt at a street picture, and there's a shaggy dog story with Phil and Terry on a tour of Buckingham Palace with the Queen, and dramas unfold in the Young Dreams house as Rachel, Olivia and Yumi embark on their big city adventure in fashion. Now, I didn't know what to expect from this, but it was very weird, very rude and very funny. It's difficult to describe a lot of the sketches at this time of day, and getting across any of the comic timing isn't going to be easy. But the office flirt was an early highlight, as the grim-looking bloke flirted with a woman in the middle of a meeting in a matter-of-fact fashion. And then along came New Guy, who completely trounced him with the most ridiculous French kiss ever seen on TV. And then later on we saw the identity of Banksy, or rather Knox, who was hidden under the false makeup, with like a dodgy nose and a bad wig. So if you've not seen it, then it'll be on tonight at 10:30 again, so it's well worth a watch. And also this week we had Phil Spencer's Secret Agent, where Britain's property boom has been reduced to a whimper. With more homes going unsold than ever before, Phil Spencer wants to help get things moving again. In this five-part Peak Time series, Phil travels across the country from Bromley to Birmingham and Shropshire to South Manchester, trying to get offers on houses that haven't been selling. In the first episode, Phil is in desirable Didsbury, where Marty and Keris are selling their four-bed semi-detached. Meanwhile, on the other side of the city, Christian and Laurie's semi is only half finished. With their busy family lives and a flooded property market, will Phil be able to get them to make them complete the work so he can get a sale? So in this first episode, the Didsbury house suffered from a couple that loved to smoke indoors and left full ashtrays around the house. And there's bric-a-brac all over the place, and a dog that likes to wee on the landing floors. And then there was a house in Rochdale where the couple hadn't finished things off, as is always the way for one that's owned by a builder. But it just looked that everything had been put together by Bodgett and Scarpa. And there was just like horrible half-finished jobs all over the place. Plus, both of them were asking far too much for what the market will allow. But as is the way you'd expect in these programmes, the smoker ignored Phil's pleas not to smoke in the house, while the builder couple refused to drop their asking price just by a mere $5,000 to $125,000, the level at which stamp duty is applied. But you know that Phil knows what he's talking about, so it makes you wonder how much of these programmes are just staged, as the outcome from what I've described is perfectly obvious. The smoker will eventually stub it out, and the other couple will eventually reduce their house price. But, you know, if you like property programmes, then it's not bad. It doesn't do anything major, and it's had a sort of daytime similar kind of run already. But, you know, it passes an hour, I guess. Okay, so in a moment we'll have a look at some programmes coming up in the next week. But I'm going to have a bit of a new feature, called, which are basically like sort of guilty pleasures, like in terms of music. And this week I'm going to kick off with a very bizarre track, only a short one. Something that the Goodies did. I think it's on the back of their single of M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. And it's called Funky Farm. And, well, just have a listen, see what you think. 106.6. Okay, you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Dom Robinson. And this section we'll have a look at some more programmes watching the past week, including Sex, Lies and Rinsing Guys, which is on Channel 4 last Tuesday. We'll still be on 4OD. Now, to get their heart's desires, traditionally some women have used their natural charms to exploit men's weaknesses, but today a new breed of women are making it big business. They're getting whatever they want from men, from life's luxuries to paying the gas bill, in a phenomenon known as rinsing. These relationships are always on the women's own terms. Sex is never part of the deal. The men's wallets may open, but the girls' legs stay firmly closed. Fake tan, boobs and eyelashes are all part of this game, and our Facebook, Twitter and smartphones enable these women to work their men at the touch of a button. Sex, Lies and Rinsing Guys follow three women who live this life. Jeanette Worthington from Liverpool, Danica Thrall, born in Derbyshire, and Nottingham's Holly. Jeanette, Danica and Holly are mistresses of the art of manipulating men, whether it's face-to-face or online. This one-off documentary follows them as they charm and manipulate men to buy them what they want. Now, as I watched it, I thought, at first I had to ask, how does Danica get all those free gifts from followers when she has a face like a slapped arse and crap fake tits, quite frankly? These men must be blind. And then we saw a man talking to Danica via online chat on her iPad. And he said, I love you more than you love me. I thought, well, duh. And finally, after constantly taking the mickey out of guys, it does make you wonder how long before one of these women end up in a body bag. You know, it's just... obviously what they're doing is wrong, but it's just, you know, one day they're going to meet someone who's just not very pleasant, and it's all going to go a bit Pete Tong. But something else that goes Pete Tong is people's internal organs. This is where embarrassing bodies lie from the clinic came in. There is no longer any excuse for not seeing a doctor, as once again the nation's favourite medics offer live appointments from the comfort of your own home in a new series of embarrassing bodies live from the clinic. And Dr. Christian Jessen and Dr. Dawn Harper are back taking appointments using internet webcams. It's also back on tonight again at 8 o'clock. Now, the second series started with a national interactive lesson in how to check your breasts, with volunteers having a go in studio and an invitation for viewers to join in from home via Skype. And Dr. Christian also ventures into the hospital labs to reveal how biopsy work saves lives. And Dr. Dawn gets to the bottom of our most embarrassing problem, flatulence. Okay, well, the first section was we had a woman with a hernia sticking out of her stomach. And the thing sticking out was actually a bowel, which is pretty gross, quite frankly. They had a segment about what makes farts smell, which was the vegetables, etc., that we eat, so it's okay for them to smell. What makes them loud? Well, like a rubber balloon, the noise comes from the bits at the end flapping together as all the air comes out. And the question was posed, do any farts contain poo? And the answer was, they shouldn't. Later, when they went back to the flatulence lab, where they found that too much protein leads to smelly farts, while meat eaters farted the most, as there are complex carbs that the bacteria in the gut was feeding off. There was also six women in the studio, plus several on video screens from home, showing how to check for breast cancer, which resulted in a lot of toplessness before the watershed, and in HD. Also, it's annoying how they spent so long telling you about all the different ways to get in touch, you know, via Skype, complete an application form on their website, or tweet with the hashtag clinic, that it actually reduces the number of patients they can actually get through. So, anyway, that's all your programmes watching the past week, and in a moment, we'll have a look at some new programmes coming up in the coming week. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, you're back for the DVD Fever Show for the final section of the second hour. We're going to have a look at some programmes coming up in the coming week, starting with at Channel 4 at 10 o'clock tonight, My Big Fat Fetish. Many people try to lose weight. This is a film about a group of big women who are happy with their weight, and some who want to get even fatter. Fat girls eating food is becoming an underground internet activity. Magazines and online websites featuring big, beautiful women have become more and more popular. These women love their fat bodies, and there are millions of men around the world who admire them and are willing to pay to watch them eat online. My Big Fat Fetish follows the lives of four big models, or four big, it's called, big with a in quotes, in the USA and UK. This fascinating documentary intimately explores the relationship these women have with their food and bodies and also with their fans, and reveals what motivates them to this bizarre sexual lifestyle. Kit is 21 years old and weighs 20 stone, and she's in the first episode, is also known as Stuffing Kit. Not only does Kit's boyfriend gain pleasure from her gaining weight and regularly feeds her, men also pay to watch her eat online. The programme also follows Renee, who used to be a gainer, but decided to stop when she reached 29 stone. She now runs a gaining website and recruits big women to model online. There's no news on when the next episodes are on, though, because next Tuesday is Richard Bacon's programme, Hidden Talent. But anyway. Then we also have Are My Fake Breasts Safe, which is also on BBC Three. Now, this was on last night at 9 o'clock. I've not seen it yet, but there is a repeat. If you set your TiVo, Sky Plus, whatever, there's a repeat on tonight at 4:25 in the morning, and also Thursday night, Friday morning at 1:30 in the morning. Former Miss Great Britain Gemma Garrett investigates how she and 50,000 other British women ended up with toxic breast implants made by the French company PIP. After her own implants ruptured and the silicone pieces had to be tweezed out, Gemma wants to know not just what the long-term effects will be on her body, but also why such high numbers of women remain so desperate to make their breasts bigger, and what risks they face as a result. Can they be confident about other products on the market, or even breast surgery itself? As she explores the implant industry as a whole, Gemma meets the first woman ever to have them, and some women with PIPs, now terrified they have been left with ticking time bombs in their chest. And with their own experience still painfully raw, Gemma challenges a friend who is still dead set on having implants. But it's a boob job, really, the best way to boost her assets. No, fake breasts are rubbish. Don't have them. Just normal ones are great. Also, we have Love Chef, which is was on E4 last night at 7:30. Again, I've not seen that yet, but it's on 4OD now, so you can still watch it. It's a brand new 6-part series that takes speed dating to a whole new level, as one lucky girl, a boy, travels up the Love Shaft to a luxury penthouse bar looking for love along the way. Their mission is to find a dream date among the weird and wonderful candidates who are waiting to impress them as a lift stops at different floors on the journey. They can only have one companion in the lift at a time, so when the doors open, the data must decide whether to stick with their current ride or select someone new. Now this sounds like Love Bus or whatever it was that was on before. Was it on Channel 5 or E4? Who cares, it just sounds terrible. And this new programme sounds even worse. Also on Friday on BBC 4, we have Pink Floyd Wish You Were Here. John Etherington's documentary explores the making of Pink Floyd's ninth studio album. It was released in September 75 and went on to top the album charts both here in the UK and in the US. Excuse me. Featuring new interviews with band members Roger Waters, David Gilmour and Nick Mason, alongside contributions with the likes of guest vocalist Roy Harper, sleeve designer Storm Thorgerson and photographer Jill Firmanowski, the film is a forensic study of the making of the follow-up to 73's Dark Side of the Moon, which is another conceptual piece driven by Roger Waters. The album wrestles with the legacy of the band's first leader, Syd Barrett, who dropped out of the band in 68 and is eulogised in the album's centrepiece, Shine On You Crazy Diamond. Pink Floyd had become one of the biggest bands in the world, but the 60s were over and the band was struggling to find their purpose and the old camaraderie. And after that, at 10 o'clock on BBC 4, we have a Pink Floyd miscellany from 67 to 2005, with a compilation of rarely screened Pink Floyd videos and performances, beginning with the Arnold Lane promo from 67 and culminating with the reunited band's performance at Live 8 in 2005. It also features a newly restored Another Brick in the Wall performance and performances of Grantchester Meadows, Cymbeline and others. And if there must, there's also the Eurovision Song Contest this Saturday at 8 o'clock, where Graham Norton provides commentary on the 2012 Eurovision Song Contest from Baku in Azerbaijan, who won the 2011 one. Engelbert Humperdinck flies the flag for the United Kingdom, performing first with his soaring ballad, Love Will Set You Free, which is awful. It was written by award-winning songwriters Martin Tarif and Sasha Skarbek. And he's one of the award-winning songwriters. Who the hell are they? Anyways, one of 26 acts competing for the coveted title of Eurovision Song Contest winner 2012, if you care. Also, on Sunday at 10 o'clock, Sunday at 8 o'clock rather, on BBC One, we have the BAFTA TV Awards, hosted by Dara O'Brien at the Royal Festival Hall in London. So the nominees include Dominic West, Jennifer Saunders, Benedict Cumberbatch, Miranda Hart, Hugh Bonneville and Dame Maggie Smith. And on the programmes include Sherlock, Spooks, Misfits, Fresh Meat, Mrs. Brown's Boys and Harry Hill's TV Burp. And there's also a film that, I don't know whether it's worth a watch, but I've not seen it before. A film that came out a couple of years ago called Surrogates on BBC One, 10:45 on Wednesday. It's an action film set in 2017 when people live their lives through robots and through robot doubles from the safety of their own homes. However, when a murder threatens the peace, an FBI agent must venture into the real world to investigate. Directed by Jonathan Mostow, it stars Bruce Willis, Radha Mitchell from Pitch Black, Rosamund Pike, Boris Kodjoe, James Francis Ginty, and James Cromwell. Okay, well, for now, that's everything for this week, so thanks to everyone who listened. And check out all the trade links and gaming footage from the Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/DVD Fever Show. And I'll be back next week for some more movies, games, and TV on the DVD Fever Show. Until then, I'll leave you with a song that isn't the greatest song in the world. It's Tenacious D and Tribute. This is 106.6.
106.6.